So there are a couple of ways in and out of Holden Village in the summer. You can walk in, or you can take a bus. Now, those of you who have visited know that Holden is really hard to get to. It sits very high up in the North Cascades Park, many, many miles up lake from Lake Chelan. So you have to really want to get there if you want to visit. Now, some people who are very, very industrious and in good shape hike in. But most of the people who visit Holden elect to take the easier way. And that easier way means riding in a very old school bus up a very long, steep road for 10 very breathtaking miles. There is a sign that hangs in one of those buses. It reads, "The trip up is free. The trip down is costly." Several years ago, we heard a couple of backpackers discussing this sign as they were on their way out of the village. The first backpacker turned to his friend and rather anxiously said, "Do you have any money?" The friend turned and looked a little puzzled, said no, and then asked why. The first backpacker said, "Don't you see the sign? It says we have to pay." The second backpacker thought for a little while, and then he turned to his friend. He said, "Stop worrying about the money. That's not what the sign means. There is something else going on here that we don't yet understand." So I wonder if that is how the disciples felt as they witnessed this incredible encounter on the mountaintop at the Transfiguration. In their terrified haze, they witnessed something incredibly profound. But they also knew that it would take the rest of their lives to try to understand what this divine encounter meant. The cost of that encounter would change all of us in countless ways, but in ways that never could be calculated with human currency. So today we celebrate this Feast of the Transfiguration. It is a day when Jesus' glory is revealed ever so briefly on the mountaintop to his closest friends. Every year, this mountaintop experience marks the end of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany ends as it began, with God proclaiming Jesus as God's beloved Son. But today's glory is visible for just an instant. Before the disciples even know what is happening, Jesus' face changes back to the one that they recognize. In their confused state, they are left to wonder what they have just witnessed. It is ominous, and it foreshadows such a future that is really, really difficult for them to contemplate. Now, all of the synoptic gospels agree on the facts of this story. We hear it at least twice a year, each year. Jesus takes this inner circle of friends up a mountain to pray. And as they summit this mountain, Jesus is transformed in this very inexplicable way. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah show up and talk to Jesus. Then this voice booms from a cloud, and everything then returns to normal. And then as they begin their trek down the mountain, Jesus swears them to secrecy. Even though we hear this story often, and the storyline is familiar to us, there is still new insight to be found. This year, what I find intriguing is Peter's terror. This is no ordinary fear that Peter experiences. The Greek that underlies the text indicates that Peter and his friends were scared out of their minds. You know that feeling. It's that kind of terror that you get when all of a sudden your breath speeds up and your heart starts to beat much faster than feels like is normal. And then you kind of get this weird, queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach. I think that's the kind of terror that Peter experienced. And that terror is understandable. Only a few days before, Peter confesses that Jesus is the Messiah. But rather than basking in that knowledge, Jesus does something very strange. He insists that he must endure a very terrible suffering, rejection, and then death. And that's not the kind of reaction that Peter expects. So then when he rejects this craziness that Jesus is telling him, Jesus rebukes him right away. But that's not all, because Jesus then tells Peter and all of his followers to be ready. We too have our own crosses that we will have to bear, and we too will follow in that same fate that awaits Jesus. If Peter had any lingering doubts about this story, those doubts burned away in a flash on the mountain. Not only is Jesus' glory revealed, so too is the truth of what Jesus has been trying to say. The transfiguration confirmed what Peter feared might be true. Without a cross, there could be no new life. Without a cross, there would be no resurrection. But I wonder if there is another reason why Peter might be terrified. When that voice booms from the cloud, God affirms the belovedness of Jesus. But that belovedness is not Jesus's alone to bear. The transfiguration affirmed the goodness inherent in Jesus, and it also affirmed the goodness inherent in all of humanity. To understand the depths of Jesus' belovedness, Peter would have to understand and accept his own belovedness as well. Only then would this transforming experience on the mountain make sense. And only then could we all be able to change the world in ways that God intends. That is a scary idea, then and now. Accepting the inherent goodness in each other is much harder than it sounds. When I was in fifth grade, a new girl showed up one day to class. And because both of us were still very new in that school, the teacher sat us next to each other. She would stay there the rest of the year until she and her family decided to move on. Annette and I got to know each other pretty quickly. She was quiet, but she was really kind. We worked well together on projects, and we knew how to support each other when one of us was having a bad day. After Annette had been there for a while, I noticed one day at recess that she was sitting off by herself. And then I noticed that this continued for several days. Eventually, I wondered if Annette had any really close friends at that school. And so it was then that I decided I would change the situation. I decided I wanted to become her friend, but I needed to know something first. That night I went home and I asked my mom if it would be okay to be friends with Annette. Annette was black, and she was the first black person that I had known very closely at all. I wanted to accept her as she was, but I did not know how to do that. I asked my mom for permission, not so much because I needed that permission, but because I needed her to affirm what I had decided. I needed to hear her say it was okay to do and to be something different. Increasingly, the world tells us that all of the wrong things matter in this world. The color of our skin and the gender that we elect to acknowledge to the world, affiliations like our political and our religious tendencies. Those are the things that help us understand each other at face value. They help us understand how to relate to each other, but they are also used all too often to divide us and to separate us. Those human labels say nothing about who we are in the eyes of God. Belovedness in God's eyes has nothing to do with those kinds of things. Instead, it has everything to do with the inherent goodness that is deep within us. It has everything to do with what is revealed on top of that mountain through Jesus. The world tries hard to deny that truth. It tries hard to sever our connections with God. But thankfully, God has other ideas. Thankfully, God accepts us as we are. And thankfully, that is enough. Accepting that reality is scary, and it is difficult, but it is the most countercultural act of faith that we can practice today. For the last several weeks, I have had this one Taze chant that has just haunted my thoughts. I often associate this chant with the suffering that Jesus endured on Good Friday. The words remind me of the desperate pleas that Jesus must have made to God as he hung on that cross. Stay with me. Remain with me. Watch and pray. I also wonder how those words give voice to my own pleadings with God. Prayers where I beg God to stick around long enough for all of us to be swept up in this glorious future that God imagines. But we are not the only ones who cry out. I wonder if when God calls out from the cloud on top of that mountain, if God also cries out to us. I wonder if God issues a plea. Promise me, God begs, that you will stick it out to the end. Promise me that you will never leave. Promise me that you know how much I so dearly, dearly love you. Eventually, we must all head down that mountain. The trip, it will be costly, and it will take everything that we have and even more. And it will change us. That journey will continue soon enough. For today, give thanks for the glory that is revealed through God on top of that mountain. And rest in the belovedness that is proclaimed in Jesus and in each one of you as well. Amen.